Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Welcome to Vox Novus, the new voice. Growing up in the 1950s and 60s, I was fortunate to be in what was dubbed the Golden Age of comic books. In 1965, while in junior high school, I had the opportunity to interview the editor of DC Comics and ask why comic book heroes were so popular. He said that there was what he called a hero vacuum at the time, and fictional heroes addressed that need. What if things were reversed? What if a real-life person inspired a comic book hero? And what if this person were a wonderful, positive, and inspiring woman? My guest this week on Vox Novus, Kadrolsha Ona Carroll, is a real-life comic book hero, media star, actress, paranormal investigator, and a wonderful inspiration. Dubbed the Queen of the Paranormal, Kadrolsha Ona Carroll made comic book history by becoming the first person to be a comic book superhero doing what she does in real life between the pages of a comic book. Kadrolsha was chosen the most beautiful woman in the world by Hollywood Digest magazine. She proved beauty is not just skin deep. In July of 2020, she became the host of Hollywood Entertainment News and the face of airport television streaming services. Kadrolsha is an international executive film producer with 48 awards on IMDb. She is also the author of a series of books that empower children. Her website is queenoftheparanormal.com, and she joins me this week to share her path, her positivity, and her amazing story. Please join me in welcoming to Vox Novus, Kadrolsha Ona Carroll. Welcome, Kadrolsha.
Thank you for having me, Victor.
Let's begin by sharing with our listeners your early life and path. And you come from multiple generations of family who were sensitive to spiritual energy.
Yes, it goes back at least seven generations. I'm Polish, and my family was in the Russian army. So we're on the border, so I'm sure I'm Russian, Lithuanian. The Kadrolsha is Polish, Ona is Lithuanian, and I had blinkies and a whole bunch of, the Russian bush, which is the red cabbage one, and I had the Polish bush, which is the oatmeal-based one, and then I have Abenaki, which is a Native American from my father's side of the family, and they came down through Canada into Newport, Vermont, the home of the Abenakis, so I have quite a lineage when it comes to, I guess my bloodline, but my babcia, which is grandmother in Polish, and then my stara babka, babcia rogala, I grew up bilingual, and so stara babka is like an old grandmother. She's my great grandmother, and she would do la tea leaves. She would do dream interpretation. She would do spirit communication, and my grandmother did the same thing. And in fact, before my grandmother passed away, she didn't know what to do because she thought she was going to have to put a telephone inside the casket for us to call her about our dreams. So it was pretty funny. We're a very comical family, and but I kind of took over all of that and just, made a life out of it at a very young age. I thought everybody was like this, that we could all, not so much see the future, have feelings about it, yes, based on common sense, and to push positivity forward instead of like the negative connotation that comes with the paranormal. I wanted to push the positive energy side of it, and that's what I do right now.
How old were you when you first realized that you had these gifts?
People have asked me that before, and I try to think anywhere between the ages of 3 and 5. I was in a car. I remember this. And I was in a car that had a split in the windshield, like a piece of metal. It was an old car, and I was with my my parents in this old car. They probably had an old beat up, who knows what. And we were driving, and I said something to effect that we have relatives in that cemetery. I just pointed. We have, you know, Babcha and Jaju over there. I was young. And my mother's like, we don't have any family members there. And I was so insistent on going in there that I showed them where to go. And lo and behold, we get out of the car, and there were the gravestones of relatives that my mother didn't even realize were there. So that was an amazing story. And from that time forward, that, you know, is when definitely she has a gift.
Did your parents support you, encourage you to pursue the gift?
No. My father, no. In later years, my father, yes. But my father, no. And my mother, absolutely no. Unless she wanted to know something that was going to happen or this or that, but she just didn't like that at all. And that's just the way it goes. I mean, some people have more of an intuitive nature and can feel things. I remember I come home from a friend's house, and I walked in the door and I looked at my mother and I said, Aunt Connie is dead. At that time, we didn't say aunt, we said Chacha, because we were Polish. And so Chacha Connie died. She goes, I just got the call. So things like that would always happen.
You know, it's funny. I was labeled a kid with an overactive imagination for doing just the same things. And when I was 7 years old, I was very close with my paternal grandfather. And I was reading something in my room, and I looked up, and my grandfather was standing there. And I said, Grandpa, where did you come from? And he didn't say anything. He just smiled and then sort of faded away. And I went into the living room and I said to my parents, Grandpa was here. And they said, you're imagining things. And a couple of minutes later, the phone rang with word that he had passed. So I know exactly what you're talking about. What would you say to parents who have children who are showing these gifts? How would you address them in terms of encouraging them?
I would say to take them seriously, but don't indulge in it. Don't over embellish it or continue the conversation. Just have it as natural as can be. I know some parents immediately will call a paranormal show for their 15 minutes of fame. Don't do that. And sometimes kids, well, we all know, sometimes children just like to make stuff up. So you have to watch a pattern. And even if you have to write down the pattern, when does it happen? Is it usually when they wake up? It's in the middle of the night? Is it before a particular phone call or an event on television, which they wouldn't have known about? And keep track of this. And you'll clearly be able to see whether the child is in the phase of let's pretend and make this up, or actually he or she has a gift.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Now, I understand that you had a career in law enforcement. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
And yes, how did your gifts help you with that work?
Well, it kept me safe until one incident, but hey, I'm a girl. And if you look at me, I really am a girl, and I don't have the strength of a man. And I, you know, when you're young, you think you're invincible. You think, hey, you know, I'm a feminist. I can this. I can do that. We're all equal. No, we're not. But I did graduate first of my class at the Police Academy, Northeast Regional Police Institute. And I was the first of my class in firearms training. I beat out Marines with my ability to shoot. And so I went on the Lawrence, Massachusetts there. They had an auxiliary police force, and I was part of that. But because of the time frame, and we had arresting rights, and we carried guns, and we did everything the actual officers did. We were like in a waiting period to be put on the force. And So I did a lot. I was on Unit 1, the gang task force, and I was chasing a gentleman through a graveyard, of all places, right? Then I got from behind, I got literally ran over by another perpetrator, just knocked me for a loop. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, what am I, crazy? this is just a super tough job, and I got banged up pretty good and out of work, you know, that kind of thing. And I rethought the whole process on, is this really what I want to do for the rest of my life? And I decided, you know, I'm young enough, maybe I don't want to do this. And therefore I didn't. But with incidents, other incidents, like going into a Masonic temple where there are people vandalizing it, or working the Spanish festival, you can kind of get a gauge on who's good and who's bad. You can feel it. And I think this actually stems from a gift from God that you are born with, and I can prove it. People walk down a main street in town, like in your area in Queens, or mine up here in New Hampshire. I live in the city. And even though the city's only like a couple of blocks, the rest is all country. But you walk down the street, and for some reason, you don't know why, you find yourself crossing the street when someone's coming. There's nothing wrong with this person. They're just walking by. Why did you cross the street? Why did you go on to the street and go around them? Why did you duck into a store? Well, that energy just didn't meld well with yours. It doesn't mean the person was an axe murderer or anything else. It just means that that was not for you. And we were born with this. And people, they do it without even thinking now. But they feel something negative, so therefore they're uncomfortable, so they get out of that way. And I even find myself, nowadays, if I'm at a shopping mall or I'm somewhere, obviously the pandemic, it's hard to go places, but you know, you just might want to kind of walk a bigger swath around somebody, and you're like, why the hell am I doing this? Yeah. Well, that's because you just, there's something unfamiliar or uncomfortable with that energy in you. Person's probably delightful, but it just doesn't meld with you.
And as intuitive and empath, we have a sense that perhaps that person takes more energy than they put out into the world, and we just don't want to be taken from.
Well, yes, we know a lot of those, what do they call them, psychic vampires or energy vampires or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And did your background help you? I understand that you actually disarmed a gunman who was lurking in your property near a school.
Yes. I'm going to have to say that I don't know if it was my police training or just my life in general. I was always quick to help people, quick to move. That doesn't mean that people that are not quick to move or help or save people are not good people. It's just maybe they don't have that energy in them to do that. I can't explain it. When I came across this kid, or early 20s or so, I'm guessing, in my yard, I went over to see, like, you know, what the heck's going on. He's sitting down, and he motioned with a gun right at me. I don't know if he was in the process of trying to get up, and he moved the gun that way, but I kicked it right out of his hand. And then he shoved me down. He had the gun. He was over me, and he pulled the trigger twice. It never went off. And I was like beyond grateful. And then I was knocked unconscious, and I was sexually assaulted. And when I came to, I made it to the high school, which was one house away. And I was able to warn them that this is happening, could be happening. I don't know where the person is. And so, so that's what happened there. But as far as police training, I don't know if that played into it. Maybe. I don't know. But what other things I've done is, you know, gone and rescued kids off of ice that they've fallen through. And I don't know why these things happen in front of me. Maybe God gave me the ability to be able to be fearless and help, and he protects me. I don't know. That's a good question.
And that experience actually led you to become an advocate to warn schools when people who are carrying guns are in their area.
Right, because not all things for kids are reported. Like when I did warn everybody, they never sent a note home to the kids, to the parents. They never closed the doors at the school. I live in a city. At that time, it was highly populated with opioids and people that had mental illnesses, people that were homeless, literally down the street from me, people that had alcohol problems. And therefore, they treated me like I was anybody in the neighborhood without starting fresh with a clean slate and realizing something bad just happened. So they allowed it time to go by. And I did get an apology, and they shook my hand at the police station when I told them I didn't realize that there was a protocol that I had to follow when I was in shock.
Yeah.
And that was it. So it was quite the experience and a learning tool. And I did abdicate for that. And I still do. When I do conventions, we talk about it with parents of, you know, school-age children or grandparents that are taking care of their grandchildren, that these things do happen. And sometimes the school just doesn't report it. They just want to not have people know that this is happening in their school district. And that's the way it goes. So I still do that, but I'm not as vocal on blogs or anything I was at first because I was very mad. But then now it's more like I can reach more people in a friendlier atmosphere than a confrontational atmosphere. So we do, I talk at conventions and I lecture about it that way.
When did you first become interested in paranormal investigation?
Probably when I was 8 years old in a canoe out in front of my aunt's summer house and in Rhode Island, Coventry, Rhode Island, on a pond called Johnson's Pond. And we had a home there and I had the canoe and I was in there with my sisters and we had a candle and we were trying to contact spirits that had drowned in the lake at 8 years old. Wow. It's just like, who does that? Nobody. but I did. Wow. Because I wanted to be able to reach out and pray for them. And I wanted to know who they were, if they could contact me, and I would pray because we were a very religious family.
And when did you first become active in paranormal investigation?
Well, the actual going out and, let's say, looking for the ghosts, probably very soon after that, because we would walk up the street with candles inside a little container. We would be doing it on the fly. I was never part of a paranormal team. I had skills from way back when. I used to know a gentleman, and Robert Gaudette, and he was a stunt rider for, of all people, Gene Autry. This gentleman was very old, very wise, and very smart. And he taught me a lot of things when it came to horses and how to feel energy and how to use your hands to feel where energy was. So I would use those things he taught me at 10 and 11 years old. And I would look for energy from the spirit world that way. And it just continued from there, right through the police department, right through singing in bands, which I did a lot of. I was a backup singer for the Rolling Stones and Joe Cocker Band, along with many other bands. And it traveled extensively. But I would always use that energy, good or bad, to you know, to go forward, whether it was a concert or people that talk just endlessly in your ear about nonsense. You can kind of like see the truth into what they're saying if you can feel their energy.
Absolutely.
So I would have to say from a long time all the way, and even today, even today we do that. My grandson, just the other day, he was ghost hunting in my bedroom of all places. Lights on, windows, you know, drapes open, middle of the day with a flashlight. He's looking for a ghost. It's so cute. And he, I say, are you looking for a ghost? Or are you looking for energy? What are you looking for? Well, I want, again, he's repeating me, I want to pray for someone who's suffering. And I don't know if they are unless they have to contact me. And I said, well, you're praying for for energy. You're doing a positive thing.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. How did you get the wonderful moniker, the Queen of the Paranormal?
Well, in 2007, I was on a radio show as Cece the Huntress. Cece was a name that we made up, and I used it to star in Cece the Huntress ghost hunting shows, all, and we did it in cable. We did it on WNDS up here in New Hampshire, but it went through all of New England, all six states. And so we did this, and a gentleman, and I did the radio interviews like I'm doing now. And so this gentleman called in, and he said, I deem you the queen of the paranormal, IW or whatever they do that, the queen of paranormal. And I says, you know what? I like that. So I trademarked it.
Wonderful.
Simple as that. And that was the end of it. Best move I ever made. And, you know, people gave me a lot of trouble for it. But then they have, you know, the grandfather of the paranormal, rock and roll paranormal person. Just because I put queen of the paranormal, they all went nuts. And I'm like, I trademarked it, which for some reason they just discovered that after all these years, like a few weeks ago. And they all were upset about that. Some of the paranormal community from 15 years ago who's still hanging around.
Like, that's so funny.
I'm like, you know, it's a business move. It's called business, nothing personal.
Absolutely.
You should have done that too.
So, that's so funny.
Yeah.
That's so
that's how that came about. And what I decided to do is when I was talking to a gentleman, he says, well, you need a Transylvanian name with that title. I'm like, why? Why don't I just use my name, you know? And he said, well, what is it? Because they all call me Cece from the show. And I said, well, it's Karosha Ona. And they went, whoa, definitely Transylvanian. So we just went with that. But my family would call me, and not Karosha, only when they were mad. But I would, they go Karoka, which is short for that, or Ona. And Ona is Anna, Anastasia, or Anastasia, whichever way you want to go. So definitely an ethnic name. And so that's how that went.
That's wonderful. My guest, Karosha Ona Carroll. Karosha, please tell our listeners where they can find out more about you and all of this amazing stuff that you do.
Well, you can go to queenoftheparanormal.com, and right there you can get into all the social media handles and read about everything that I do.
Absolutely. We'll be back with more of Karosha after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Learn more at She Can STEM.
For unemployed, it can seem like there's no way out. But with the right tools, suddenly it all just clicks. Develop new skills and find your path to a new career at findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week, Karosha Ona Carroll. We're talking about all of the wonderful things she's done in her career. So you had mentioned Cece the Huntress. What are the other shows that you were involved in paranormal investigation?
Well, Cece the Huntress, we had 85 programs. I've done YouTube things as well. I've done a lot of ghost hunting with the Ghost Hunters and people from Ghost Hunters International. We would do events together. And during these events, we also did ghost hunting together. So I wasn't on their shows, but I was an intricate part because we were all under the same management, which was Ideal Event Management for years. And actually, I was only there for 5 years. I just felt that singing to the choir will not get you out of the church. let's say. And I didn't want to be known for only doing paranormal events. I wanted to have my positive message go to everyone humanly possible. So that's why I took a step into the national and international arena by doing pop culture events using the trademark Queen of the Paranormal, which gave me a much larger audience. And I don't do local events anymore, although I do place other people I know on them, so give them, you know, a chance to experience and to share their knowledge. So I did that. I also am the one of the creators of Paranormal 13 News, which is a great program. And the essence of Paranormal 13 News is to take women and some men to empower them and to sell their wares at a level that they never thought they could possibly. And this is by being in 195 countries, all 50 states, and Roku, and a whole bunch of independent channels in between. And what we did was we talked paranormal, some girls on the set, and you could see their websites. You can go and exchange commerce with them, and it's a wonderful concept. And now we have a team that has shows on the Galaxy Global Television Network, that which I'm part of, that they have Asperger's syndrome. So I like to cater to people with different type of abilities, let's say, not mm-hmm. disabilities, absolutely. Abilities. Mm-hmm. And so I was more than eager to put their work on the air, and they love it. They love it. I even got a few magazines to do stories on them. And so I was able to create that and do that. I'm also part of The Exorcist Legacy, the original movie, but this is 40 years after the original movie. You can see my work on the director's cut of the 40th anniversary DVD on Blu-ray of The Exorcist. And what I did was, for a couple years, I worked with the original footage from Father Gallagher, an interview with him, regarding William Peter Blatty, and he was a student of divinities and Professor Gallagher. So working with that, doing this thing called switchback editing, like you would see Father Gallagher holding the bishop's files, which are the actual accounts and witness statements of the people involved in the exorcisms. It wasn't just one, it was several, to write that book, The Exorcist. And he would read from there, "You unclean spirits." And then I'd throw in from the movie, "You unclean spirits." So what I was trying to do is match up realism with Hollywood, with realism from Hollywood, and what was not. So that work with Hollywood re-edited it, because, hey, I really don't have those kind of computers, you know, couldn't afford them. But they did a great job. But that was my work. And that's why I have that credit from The Exorcist.
That's wonderful. We have many listeners who are members of paranormal groups. With all mm-hmm. of your experience, what advice would you offer them?
Keep your day job. That's it in a nutshell. I have seen over all the years being involved, and now, you know, with the life of the internet and all this stuff like that, people would throw their mother under the bus to have a chance to be on a TV show, or they even settle for being, let's say, social media famous, like Facebook famous. Can't tell them otherwise. They're mean, they're nasty, and they think that it's some kind of competition where it's not. It's sharing our knowledge to see if indeed there is life after death, and how do we communicate with it, and stuff like that. And but to be famous, I mean, that's like taking a garage band and expecting them to be Led Zeppelin. That's not happening. I mean, if it happens, it's like one in a million shot at it, and that's about your odds. So do it as a hobby. Do it as something you absolutely love. But don't do it to hurt other people and be competitive to the point you want to climb all over them or make fun of them because you want to be the one known or seen. If you make fun of people, you know, that just shows your inside character and who you really are. You should be pushing people ahead. You should be sharing positivity, and you should be sharing your knowledge.
And what about in terms of the people's relationship to the spirits if they encounter actual spirits?
What do you mean by their relationship?
One of the things that I've found personally disturbing is when people do this challenging of spirit to do things. And in my mind, if someone is spirit, in spirit, the energy is disembodied spirit, you would speak to them with the same respect that you would speak to a living person standing in front of you.
Well, you'd think so. But again, people are looking for showmanship. They're looking for effect. They're looking to get recognized. And this is just not the way we do it as a, I want to say professional, but not everyone gets paid for paranormal investigation. So professionality would be the better term. So in a professional manner, you don't yell at spirits. You don't do that kind of thing. Because you know what? They're only going to, they were human.
Absolutely.
And I really feel that even the emotions are still in the energy and you're looking for trouble. And that's just the way it is. And so I would just knock it off for the, you know, showboating and all this stuff, because it's not going to get you anywhere.
Absolutely.
At all.
You proclaimed May 3rd as National Paranormal Day. What kind of response did you get?
Oh, they all hated me. Attacked me. But what I did was it was already National Paranormal Day. But what I wanted to do is issue a proclamation that it always stays that way, National Paranormal Day, and that we foster it and let's see if we can rise it up and push it forward. And I stand by that. I think National Paranormal Day is something that I clarified in my proclamation. It's for all nations, not just for the United States. And when I was researching National Paranormal Day, some guy made it up, and it was all in the honor of some guy and the United States. Well, that's cool, but I think there are dead people all over the world,
yeah.
And maybe even on the moon and Mars. I don't know. So why don't we just do it for a bigger scope? We'll
Absolutely.
Do it for the entire universe, the entire world. And that's what that proclamation was for. And a lot of people loved it. But, you know, you get the diehards that are doing their, I don't know, Facebook famous thing or whatever they do to down you and make fun of you. And I bet you their parents never taught them to make fun of other children or adults or people. And here they are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s making fun, like doing schoolyard, making fun of people and bullying. That's just not how paranormal or spirituality is done. It's just not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How did you get involved in films and acting?
I've been involved in films and acting since I would have to say around 12, 13 years old.
Hmm.
My mom would put me in different things. She knew an agent, and you know, we lived locally, and New York was not that far. I remember getting on a train with my Aunt Bertha. She had one leg. And we would go and do the auditions and things like that. Most of the work was just an extra. You know, even at a young age, I wanted to do so many things, and I did like acting. But I don't think I really wanted, even at a young age, to be like a Hollywood starlet by any stretch of the imagination. I just like playing a whole bunch of different parts here or there and doing the extra work. And uncredited work does not mean unpaid. A lot of people think so, but they're wrong. I know I was in the Star Wars clip there, and I was with Harrison Ford, and he's up there as uncredited too. And we both had a good laugh about it, that uncredited does not mean unpaid.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Kudrolcha, Hollywood Digest magazine named you the most beautiful woman in the world. What an amazing honor. But you proved that beauty is not only skin deep.
Yes, it did. It was an amazing article. I am honored to have been chosen as that. But what people don't realize is with every company that's trying to get readers or viewerships, they're always going to go with a great big exciting tag title. And the title is fantastic, but what people don't realize until they read it is there are nine other beautiful women, integrity, intelligence, charitable giving. The article was about women and charitable giving and the things that they do to help others with positivity and great gestures. So it was not an article of like hip hop stars or sports stars or singing sensations and actors and, you know, Hollywood starlets. They didn't want that. They have that. Everybody does that. That gets old and boring after a while. What they wanted was something very new and to actually prove that beauty comes from within and resonates, you know, on the outside. So when it came out, I mean, I'm in PR, it came out, I'm thinking like, oh, I could use this. This is great. But other people, you know, when it comes to paranormal, whatever, they may have a grudge. I told you they're highly emotional people. And I got slammed with some pretty bad hate mail. And I'm thinking right away, they never read the article. Because if they read the article, they would see exactly what these women did and do for charitable giving and helping others, including animals. So I feel bad for people that just strike out on a title when they, in fact, should educate themselves by reading the articles. I wonder if that's how they do their research for their projects. They just don't bother to research. They just read the title. And that's sad.
You suffered a personal tragedy, the loss of your son. For yes. Parents who are listening right now who have lost children, especially during this time of pandemic, what words of comfort would you offer them?
Time. Time heals just about everything. There's nothing you can tell a parent that is going to soothe any kind of pain that they have. You can possibly, you know, say, oh, I know how you feel, but actually you don't know how that person feels. Everyone grieves differently and they all feel alone. Like they're the only ones this happened to. And that's not true. We have support groups and time heals. But being in support groups and listening to the pain of others and offering other people assistance with their pain actually will help you understand your grief and help you through it. And it is hard. I did that. I didn't want to talk about it. I was like, what do I do? I decided to go forward and continue the work that my son and I did. And if not, I would probably die. Mm. So we continued to do conventions. We continued to keep a close circle around us and pray. And now my son holds up the spirit end of things and we hold up the living end of things. And he will intervene when we need to. Like I'll be working on something in here, in my office, and all of a sudden, I got a decision to make, and I'm making the wrong one. I can hear him loud and clear. Ma, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's not right. And I can hear him. And I'm going, you know what? He's right. I'm not going to do it that way. So I do it the other way, and I can visualize him nodding like it's okay. And that's always the right way. I know that sounds crazy, but
no,
it's true.
Not at all.
And I honestly believe that if people in mourning and in grief can reach out and ask for the comfort from the one that passed away, and if they're patient enough, they'll be able to feel it. This is what I teach people, how to feel the energy of someone that passed away, whether it's an animal or a human being. And I've never had, and I'm knocking on wood right now, someone who did not have a good experience. It might have been an emotional experience, but they can actually feel, smell, visualize the person. They can hear words. They can feel the energy, good, bad, and different. They can ask questions. and get an answer or a response. And people don't realize that these things can happen. It's a form of prayer. And I like them to talk out loud to the spirits and ask them to come forward. And when they start to come forward, you're going to feel your energy shift, because everything is made of energy. And when you pass away, that energy remains. It has a name. It's called Aunt Susan. Call her and see if she'll come forward. And when she gets close, you're going to feel her. And lo and behold, they do. They have their hands out, or they're using the dowsing rods, and they feel it. And it's an emotional thing. And that's what I do at conventions as well. And I don't say, hey, buy my products. Hey, you know, I tell them, go and get coat hangers. I teach them how to do it without anything, so they can share my knowledge that I give them with their family members. It's important.
My guest, Kedrolsha Ona Carroll, will be back with more of KO after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week, Kedrolsha Ona Carroll. K.O., tell us about the children's books that you're now authoring.
The children's books that I'm authoring are hard-hitting subjects written in a very child-friendly, palatable manner, addressing situations like abuse or bullying and things like that. The gentleman who did the artwork on the first cover, which we're just about done with, believe it or not, it's just took forever, then the pandemic hit. But that's a book called Dean Is Sad, and it has a dinosaur and a flying pterodactyl, The dinosaur is Dean, and the flying pterodactyl is Sam. They were named after my grandson, Dean, and my first son that passed away, Bobby. His name was going to be Sam until the moment he was born. And my ex looked at the nurse. The nurse said, "What are you naming him?" "I'm going to name him Samuel." "Oh, I don't like that name. You should name him Robert." So my ex named him Robert. But I have that memory. So it's Dean and Sam. And in the first book, and the illustrator is Billy Diamond. And Billy Diamond was a puppeteer for Jim Henson, very good friends with him, and worked with the Muppets for up until his passing, Jim Henson's passing. And so Billy Diamond and I, we've been friends for many, many years. He did the illustration on the cover of the book. This particular book is about Sam is very upset and he's very mad at Dean. And Dean doesn't know why. And I intervene and I say, "Well, did you ever ask him to play with you? Because Dean was playing with the other kids." And Dean says no. I said, "Why don't you ask him to play? Maybe that's why he's very upset." And so they asked Sam to play, and everything went smooth and was fun. And so the moral of the story is, it's not always what you think. It could be something different, and positivity saves the day. Let's be positive about it. And so that was one story. Another story is about a girl with Dean who had a big bruise on her arm. And all her friends and Dean went and got help. They went and got me to help. And they were all concerned that she was somehow abused and or roughed up. But what really happened, I'm just zipping to the end. What really happened was she actually rescued a kitten from a tree and hurt her arm in the meantime. So instead of thinking the bad, it was the good. But they did the right thing by getting an adult and reporting it. They did that. But it doesn't always mean it has to be bad. It can be something good. So that's how we're approaching these hard-hitting subjects.
Wonderful messages for children to receive and hear, especially in this world as it is right now. So tell us what it's like to be a comic book hero.
Oh, it's fun. Bleep that out. It's fun. I was in Omaha, Nebraska, in Oaks Bluff, Iowa, which is right across the river there. And a gentleman came up to me. He said, "How would you like to be in a comic book?" And I'm thinking, "Well, hey, who wouldn't want to be?" So I said, "Sure." I said, "But the character has to do what I do in real life. I don't want to deviate from the character." And so we had a long talk, and so we nailed the character down. I helped them write that first book and things that I said. And then a comic historian, he was actually the author of the comic book, Brian Morris, he got a hold of me, and he said, and he's been in the industry like 50 years now as a comic historian, and he said, "You know, you're the first person, and I've really researched this, that does what she does in real life between the pages of a comic book, as far as healing, as far as energy, as far as being a superhero and kicking a door down because I got a dog out of a burning building, the gun thing. I mean, you name it. You know, I'm always right there to do something, saving, putting energy into a dying kitten that just up and woke up. And it was nothing short of a miracle." And so all these different things I incorporate into the comic books of what I actually do. And so that's where that comic book status came. The ones that came as close to me would be Dale Evans and Roy Rogers. Now, but they had their show in the comic books, but they weren't superheroes doing it. I'm just superhero doing it and trademarked as the Queen of Paranormal. I have my logo, you know, all my stuff. And it's meant for, I'd like kids to read it, you know, I would like that. And what I do is I fight evil with positivity and positive energy instead of like, you know, tearing them up and they're bleeding, you know, and all this stuff. I'm not going to go that route. And so that's unique right there.
And how does it feel to be a role model for young women?
I don't know. I never considered myself that. I'm human. I have my moments. But for the most part, I like it when young girls reach out to me on how they can become an actress. They want to sell a book, or they want to share their life's experience with somebody. How do I get started in all of this? How do I get seen? And I take the time and I do PR. I've been a PR person for over 18 years with ES News. And I do a lot of publicity for biotech companies and cryptocurrency and stuff, all tech stuff. But I know how to push a product. And so I'm able to help young women be able to achieve their goals, and men too. I work with a lot of young, I could say really young men, but I mean young and new on the scene, probably like mid-20s and up, trying to get a head start, whether it's in music. It's usually mainly in music. And how do I navigate who's telling me the truth and who's not? Mm-hmm. Because everybody's got a story, and everyone, you know, they're all going to tell you how fabulous you are, and then they take your money. So I don't charge for that, any of it.
July of last year, July of 2020, you became the face of airport television streaming services. Tell us about it.
Yes, I did. Wow. I work with Antonio Choice from the Cast firm, and he put me in international airports. I am doing PSAs, doing supernatural news bullets, they're called, talking about things. Also, giving airport announcements and whatever needed to be done for public service announcements in regards to the airport. So my programming was seen in the airports. It's still seen in the airports. But we've also added something different. We've added Hollywood entertainment news to the roster of things that are going on in the airports, Denver International Airport, I think Dubai. And so it's like all over. And you see them, and they're on the digital signage screens there. And I think that's really cool. I mean, people write me, they go, I just saw you at the airport. And that's really nice. That's nice that they see me on the international screens. And now we're going into Canada. And with HEN, Hollywood Entertainment News, the Canadian edition, which I've been filming for that. And that focuses all on Canadian superstars. Mm-hmm. And the good deed, only the good deeds that they do. We don't do Hollywood gossip like who's wearing a Depends down the street half naked. We're not going to do that. We're just going to highlight the positive that these actors and performers have done in their lives, whether they're from the golden era of you know, movies and television, they passed away, or they're new and hot on the scene. You know, everybody does good deeds, and that should be highlighted. And the little clips are about a minute to 2 minutes long, and they focus on the positivity of the person. And so they're going to be in digital signage screens throughout Canada on some select ones. So that's going to be in about 2 weeks that'll launch.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so that's cool.
As I mentioned in our introduction, and you've shared during the course of the interview, your overarching theme is positivity. What Yes. would you offer to our listeners about keeping positive during these difficult times?
Again, just like with grieving, help other people. Get out there and do something. Yes, we might not have food. We might not have a job. But you do have a positive frame of mind where you can comfort someone. You can give a blanket. You have canned goods in your house or staple products. Buy an extra can of dog food for somebody. Do something positive. It not only makes you feel better, it makes the person you're helping, they feel that they're not forgotten to society. And it's very important to give and to help others. And that's why I encourage people that even though your situation you may think is bleak, others are worse. And reach out and offer a nice conversation if you have nothing. a smile, a wonderful conversation, even if it's on the phone or 6 feet distance, you know, it does wonders to the soul.
Random acts of kindness.
Yes.
Absolutely. Of all of your accomplishments, 100 years from now, when people are looking back at your life, of all of your accomplishments, what would you like your legacy to be?
I was a good person and I helped others.
Mm.
That's it.
Absolutely.
If I could be remembered for that, hey, if anybody could remember me at all, that'd be great. But I'm saying, you know, I was a good person and I helped others.
The fame, all of the entertainment world, everything else, the fact that you just were a good person, that you helped others, that's the most important thing.
Yes, that's it.
I think that's what we can each say, each of us, and whatever we do in life, if we've been kind and helpful to others, if we've extended compassion and love, then we fulfilled what our mission was to be born on this planet.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you.
Absolutely. My guest, Kedrosha Ona Carroll, please tell us, our listeners, one more time how they can find out more about you and this amazing stuff that you do.
Well, you can go to my website. It has all the fun information and all the social media handles, and that is queenoftheparanormal.com. From there, you can go to the different websites and watch Paranormal 13 News. You can watch Hollywood Entertainment News and everything else that I'm involved in.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Vox Novus. I'm Victor, the voice, Furman. Have a wonderful week. Thank you.